Sabbath, everyone. Hello to all those on the telecast, or the webcast, as it's called these days. I know that God is with all of you, too, and we thank you for watching in, looking in. It's good to be back after a couple of Sabbaths off. Mr. Green and I went to Canada for a fishing trip, and I promise you that the worst day of fishing, which was none at all because it was storming that day, was better than the worst day of work. And I work for a large architectural woodworking firm, and I'm a cabinet maker and a mill worker, and I use a lot of heavy-duty equipment like table saws and molders and planers and machines that you've never heard of, a lot of electronically controlled, computer-controlled machines. And there's about 40 or so employees on the floor, you know, working at their benches or at their machines, not to mention all the office workers and people, you know, doing payroll and human resources and engineers and all of that type. That many people with that high risk of work, and it is a high risk. We have had injuries in the past, and hopefully we won't have any more, but we have had them. I've had injuries for myself. It's a good idea to have on hand first responders. And first responders are there. They're just employees that work along beside you, but they've been trained for medical emergencies. A certified first responder is a person who has completed a course and received certification in providing pre-hospital care for medical emergencies, and certified individuals should have received much more instruction than someone who was trained in basic first aid and cardiopulmonary resuscitation, but they are not necessarily a substitute for an emergency medical technician, or EMT. Hopefully, first responders are never needed, but that hope is pretty slim over the long run. But they are historically needed a lot, and they require special classroom and lab-type hands-on training. Typically, the company they work for would pay for their training. A technical college or other specialty school may have a class with a course description such as this. First responder. This hands-on 40-hour course trains people how to react and improvise during time priority life-threatening emergencies. This course covers scene management, disease transmission, establishing priorities of care, anatomy and physiology, respiratory emergencies, airway and ventilation, circulatory emergencies, bleeding and shock. Participants also learn how to treat traumatic injuries, including soft tissue, musculoskeletal, head and spine, chest, abdominal, and pelvic injuries, treatment of medical emergencies, including sudden illness, poisoning, and heat and cold-related emergencies will also be covered, as with special populations and situations like crisis intervention, childbirth, and transportation and multiple casualty incidents. Participants spend the majority of the course doing hands-on first aid training, and by practicing the scenarios, students gain confidence and learn to react and improvise in emergency situations. This course also comes with an admonition. I kind of paraphrased it a little bit because they go on and on with it. It takes commitment and dedication to complete the course, and that anyone who can't be serious and dedicated and committed should not waste the time of the school and other students by half-hearted effort or attendance. Why would you got to be there? If you're not there for a 40-hour course, if you miss a class, you're not going to make it. The title of my sermon is The Christian First Responder. In God's business of salvation to the world, and we can look at it like a business, it's His work, He has seen fit to provide first responders as well. That would be us, the first ones. And God has provided the job description of a spiritual first responder. Let's turn to Isaiah 61. And verse 1, it's a very well-known scripture. Isaiah 61 and verse 1, the Spirit of the Eternal God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to whom to those who are bound, and proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And it is also repeated by Christ himself in Luke 4, verse 18. You don't have to turn there, but it's basically the same language. Now Christ, this is a prophecy about Christ himself, but we know that Christ has shared his commission with us. He's called us to be part of his work. And so, as part of the first fruits, which he is the first of the first fruits, we also have this job description. He's given to us who have been called to be first fruits with him. And he's provided a school in which we can be trained in this skill. That would be the church. We've learned about the establishment of the church through the day of Pentecost, the feast of Pentecost. And he's also given us admonition to be serious, dedicated, and committed. As we read in Hebrews 10, let's turn to Hebrews 10, verse 25. Start in verse 24. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So he's talking about a commitment here, continuity and earnestness, that we stay with the job, and so much the more as the day gets closer, we have to be more urgent, more dedicated, and more willing to serve God. And he's provided the course description and textbooks and teachers and instructors to help us learn. Let's turn next to Matthew 28 and verse 19. Says, go therefore, he's speaking to the disciples, the new apostles, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son, and they will receive the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So that is their commission, and by extension, our commission to teach church, to teach new people coming in, to set an example for others, our neighbors and friends, in the way we live, to teach his way of life. We are in a classroom, in the lab environment, in these last days before the return of Christ. We're learning not only to respond to Christ and the Father, but we're learning to respond to the spiritual needs of others. We're learning now how we are to help the people living in the millennium during the reign of Christ. And like the first responders of today who provide pre-hospital care for medical emergencies, we will be the first responders to spiritual emergencies in the world tomorrow. We'll be there to patch up, so to speak, their broken hearts, their fears, their confusion, and every other kind of trauma that comes with having come out of the tribulation. Because they will live through the tribulation. Those are the ones going to be living at the very beginning of the world tomorrow. And we will lead them to the greatest physician of all the universe, the Creator God. So in today's world, the first responders keep everything together, patch you up, and get you ready to go to the doctor or the hospital, to the man that really knows how to help you. We have that same job description, and in the world tomorrow, we will be the first responders helping them come to God. An example in the Bible that we can look at as far as this dedication and learning is Abraham. He spent many, many years growing in faith and spiritual experience and righteousness before he could respond to God by being willing responded out of daily longing and searching and waiting for his son's return. He had faith that his son would return, and his son would be full of needs, full of healing. He had all of this that he needed. He already rehearsed what he was going to say and do for his son. Now his other son just acted out of blind reaction. He didn't have any expectations or forethought that his brother would even come back and what he would do if he did. So that reaction wasn't pretty. It was very selfish. It wasn't a learned and practiced response. Responding and reaction are not exactly the same thing. They're close. The basic reaction is instinctive. A response is a trained reaction. All too often what comes out of my mouth, and my family can attest to this, is just reaction. Because I haven't learned completely or practiced completely what is the right and true response to them or the people at work or the people on the freeway or wherever I am. I haven't accomplished that yet. So yes, this is another message I'm giving because I got it wrong. Not all reaction is bad. Not all response is good. Reacting to touching a hot stove can be a good thing. It can prevent great damage if you just simply don't enjoy the experience for very long and let go of it quickly. Responding to a learned bad behavior or sin can be deadly. If you practice willingly and willfully this habit, put a lot of time into this habit because you know what it is and you want it. You respond to the pulls, to the lust, to whatever. That's a response, all right. But it's bad. In conclusion, we are called to respond to the calling God has given us. That is, to be in His kingdom, ruling with Christ for 1,000 years, teaching and helping all the human beings on earth to heal from the mental, emotional, and spiritual wounds from their previous lives. Our job then would be like being first responders, making contact with them in their need, and helping them to turn to the Father and to Christ for their true conversion. Our job for now is to prepare for that job, counting the cost, learning to respond in a Christian manner, and not react in a selfish human manner in all our relationships and life situations. In our schooling today,